This is a download from the Scottish Railway Preservation Society.
Just putting some lights on the engine now. We've got two lights showing it's a passenger train.
This is Soundbox, a magazine for railway enthusiasts around the world, coming to you from Bowness in Scotland. And we join Sandy Simpson at the entrance to Bowness Station as he waits to welcome more than 40 commercial vehicles taking part in the Gangweirly Rally.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Soundblast, the Scottish Railway Preservation Society's download, the totally non-visual magazine. I'm Sandy Simpson and I'm right here in Bowness in central Scotland with the indefatigable David Bytheway, the editor, producer and roving reporter for Soundblast. You've just heard the 1405 train departing, but now... And, oh, lovely, we've got whistles going here. We've got trucks arriving. Coming in at the moment is an Albion LTE 197Y, which is from Drummond's fleet, as indeed is this one, JVA 26. More of this later, I think. And my goodness me, a British Road Services Leyland 2961R. 5E90. I can remember that Perth was 22B, but I have no idea where 5E the depot was. Another Drummond vehicle. This is very appropriate because this rally is organised in memory of Peter Drummond, who was one of the directors of Drummond Transport. This is FRC 805C, a sedan, followed by a Scania. And now a guy, RRH356M, a big J4T. Right, and I believe this is Tail End Charlie coming in now. Perhaps inappropriately, it's a military, well, I would call it a breakdown truck. It's probably a crane wagon. It's a Bedford, what else? And in fact, he's followed by another Albion, as I recognise an Albion from the side, from a Duffy College at Bow Moor. Oh, and look at that Ardbeg distillery barrels on the back. Well, isn't that nice? And still they come. So much for my Tail End Charlie. We have a lorry from David Todd, Blackhill Farm, West Calder. I'm going to move forward a little bit because I want... It is another Albion, indeed it is. SY127. And following it is a cattle float. Yet another Albion, appropriately enough. I'd love to see a wooden cattle float. Beautiful. Queen Mary, she is named. And, oh yes, the boss for the starting handle. Ah, oh, these dear dead departed days. I'm glad we don't have to start a Class 27 with a starting handle, however. Good afternoon and welcome to Bowness.
Good afternoon.
Can I have your name?
My name is Bill Struthers.
And is this your vehicle, Bill?
This is my vehicle, yes.
It is, cattle float. When was she built?
It was built about 5 years ago.
But?
I restored it.
All right.
And, we used to build cattle floats with coach builders.
Ah.
And Walker was one of our customers.
Right.
And he had a vehicle the same as this. So we built one and painted it in Walker's colours. His son's still around and I spoke to him and he was delighted to have it painted with his lettering
it's
and
lovely.
Livery.
Thank you. And from a cattle float to a carnation evaporated milk lorry, headquarters Bush House, Aldwych, London. Carnation milk, sir, good afternoon and welcome to Bowness. You are?
Jim Doig from Dumfries.
Jim. And is this your lorry?
Yes, I
It is. I was unaware that Carnation Milk shared headquarters with BBC. Bush House, Aldwych, London, West Central 2.
That was headquarters.
Before the BBC got it?
Yep.
Yes. And this one was from, this is from Dumfries?
This is from Dumfries, yes.
Condensery? What's a condensery?
Where the milk's made.
I thought that was called a dairy.
No.
Or a field, even.
That's where it's made and processed.
And turned into carnation.
Nice milk, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Redford. This one.
Now, Joe Hempstead invited me to join him in the cab of Jimmy Kearney's Foden, which belonged originally to Campbell Brewery Limited. We were on the final run into the station, and I spoke with Joe, who chatted away quite happily with me, with the tape recorder sitting on the engine cowling, which of course shares the cab with the driver and his mate in these Fodens. What I didn't know was that the engine would give off interference, which meant that the recording is, well, shall we say, patchy. So my producer is going to recover those bits that he can. So here I am with Joe Hempstead in the cab of his Foden.
Well, how old is it? It's 1962. It's called Foden S21, a fiberglass cab, and it was a nickname Mickey Mouse because of the curves on the front edge. You'll see there's a Mickey Mouse statue on the top and on the front. There's a Volvo coming to join us, there's an Atkinson coming up next. I'm not good at lorry recognition. And what's that coming in?
That's a former, this one, that's along what they call a bonneted Volvo.
Right.
They were like...
very American, aren't they?
Well, American or European. The Yanks, I think, started that type of car. And then the Europeans cottoned onto it. Unfortunately, they weren't allowed in Britain until, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Because of the overall length,
yes,
with the trailer that exceeded, I think we were only allowed something like 62 feet.
Right.
And unfortunately exceeded it, but I think legislation's changed now to accommodate such type of vehicle.
Well, Jim, I will say thank you very much indeed for the lift. Thank you for talking with us.
Uh-huh.
And I'll try and link up with my producer, whom I see there, watching the furry microphone.
Aye.
Thank you again, and I'm glad you're enjoying your afternoon so far.
You
enjoy
too,
the
sir.
Rest of it.
Okay, sir.
Thank you very much
again.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Can I get out of this without falling onto the ground, do you think?
Time for a song. Please help me, I'm falling.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
What do you do? A turn on the step and come out bum first.
Yep. Turn on the step.
Right, this step. Turn on the step here. Both feet here first, please.
Both feet here?
Well, now we've joined the drivers and the crews in the buffet at Bowness. They're having a break here, a very welcome break, I think. And I'm joined by Maurice White, who's the organiser of this rally. Maurice, tell me a bit about it.
Well, a little bit about it is that the run is the Gangwarely run. It's in memory of the late Peter Drummond. Peter Drummond from Armadale, who, the managing director of Drummond Distribution. Peter sadly passed away 4 years ago, and in his memory, he was a stalwart, historic vehicle enthusiast. So in his memory, we organise this run each year, the Gangwarely Run. Why Gangwarely? Well, on the front of each and every Drummond distribution vehicle is the logo Gangwarely. I'm led to believe it means go carefully. So that's why it's called the Gangwarely Run. This time, we started off from Armadale and then went across to Newton Grange, the Mining Museum. Excellent venue for the halfway halt, and onto the Bowness and Kinneil, where we are now.
So that's about 40 miles in total from Armadale?
A little bit more than that, I think. Yes, a little bit. I think it's a bit more. I think it's about 55 miles, the way the run's been set out.
And no one had any problems?
No, not that we know of.
How many vehicles are in the
rally?
Well,
when we set off on yesterday morning from home, we had 37. I live at Warrington, which is a fair distance to travel. We had 37 vehicles entered yesterday morning. The total at the end of the run is 49 vehicles.
That's
so we've picked some more up this morning.
You're gathering them as you come along?
More or less. Mm. Yeah, more or less.
Now, Eleanor Drummond is here, Peter's widow.
She is, yes.
And she has a part to play in the rally, hasn't she?
She has a part to play in the rally in the respect that it's in memory of her husband.
Yes.
Her late husband. But Eleanor does. She supplies the attendance plaque. She looks after the buffet side of it. She looks after everybody. I mean, Peter was an absolute gentleman.
What's the oldest vehicle in...
1937. An Albion KL127.
Well, that's the year I was born. I suspect it's in better nick than I am.
Well, you're 10 years older than me then.
And tell me about your own vehicle.
I haven't come in a vehicle. I've come in my car, obviously from Warrington. And as the organiser, I've got to do the running about.
Ah.
So I'm at the start, I'm at the halfway halt, I'm here at the finish venue. So as the organiser, you've got to be there.
Earlier in 2012, our younger members, who make up the SRPS youth group, spent a day in York visiting Railfest at the National Railway Museum. Andrew Fowler, one of the members of the group, made a special audio diary of their day out, and here is his report.
It's Saturday 9th of June and the SRPS youth group is on a train. Oscar Arnstein explains.
So that's us off on our way to the Railfest Festival. There are 12 of us here and we're really excited to be off on the long journey to York.
We'll see you when we get there. What are you most looking forward to seeing?
Sydney Trojan flying Scotsman Mallard.
To all the famous trains. We're arriving at the entry gate for the NRM, which stands for National Railway Museum, if you're not as stupid as me. And we can already smell the steam over just left the station, so we're on our way. The new front entrance to the National Railway Museum is visible, quite strikingly. And let's have some fun. What are you most looking forward to seeing, Oscar?
Oh, definitely Maud. It'll be really good to see what the museum's done with the SRPS loco.
Are we going to take it home with us, sir?
I wish, but no.
At Railfest 2012, there were lots of stands and crowds of railway enthusiasts, and one of the first locomotives that I visited was a Jubilee-class named Bahamas. I climbed onto the footplate and talked to a representative of the Bahamas Locomotive Society.
This is a Jubilee class locomotive. It was built in Glasgow in 1935 for the London, Midland and Scottish Railway. It was withdrawn from service in 1966 at Stockport, purchased by the society in 1968. We've restored it twice. It's been out of steam and out of service now since 1998, but we plan on raising the £400,000 to get it back in steam again. Most of the work will be shopped out and subcontracted. As soon as we've raised the money, we will then have the work done. The plan is not just to see it in steam on the branch line, we want it on the main lines again. Every help would be appreciated.
Is that the steam's last blast, Peel?
That's what it's called, yeah. Steam's last blast. Why do we call it that?
Because
it's got the double chimney. It was the last attempt by British Railways to improve the efficiency of a steam locomotive.
While I was learning about the Jubilee class of steam locomotive, one of my friends, Oscar, had made an amazing discovery.
At the York Railfest, we've just found 419 in splendid blue livery. No, not the Society's 419, 37419 in DRS livery.
Never mind the diesels, we prefer the old steamers. And they need a lot of looking after, as I discovered when a member of the 925 Cheltenham restoration team told me about their recent overhaul.
The biggest problems we had, there were a few, one crack we found in the frame down by the axles, where they get welded up, and there was a crack we found in the main steam exhaust, so they get a casting redone.
Did you have good support to getting the locomotive running again?
We had good support, it was fully restored down EC Works. And so we used a couple of companies that was based there to do a couple of bits. One company did the sandblasting for the cab roof.
And what do you see for locomotives future?
Well, we're not going on the main line because I haven't got the equipment. But we hope to see it on sort of other railways as well, doing like a bit of a tour.
Have you any plans for a livery change in the future?
Not as far as I'm aware.
So no BR Blacker?
No, not at the moment, no.
Okay, thank you.
The 1930s.
Thank you. One local I had to visit was the Duchess of Hamilton, and as I climbed up onto the footplate, a member of the National Rail Museum told me about this mighty locomotive.
We've had a lot of lovely people over the last week coming on here. Now we get some people, of course, who are huge experts, and we have some people who know a bit, and some people who last saw these 50 years ago, and some people who know nothing about them. So we try and help and cater for everybody. This is Duchess of Hamilton looking more or less exactly how it would have done when it was built in 1938. It came out of Crewe Works in September. Now I stress the how it looked bit because a lot of people think that this streamlining and the maroon and the gold, it's a very impressive engine. What today I think they call the wow factor. However, I would stress to you, I think again, that it's how it looks that is what mattered, because really we have no evidence that the engine performance was improved by all this streamlining. It was a publicity PR thing to compete with the LNER trains.
The A4s.
And in fact the guys who worked on these didn't like the streamlining at all, because you've only got to look at it and you can't get at anything. You've got to go underneath the cladding, or you've got to have ladders up the side, or worse comes to worse, you've got to have all the cladding off before you can get in the engine. When the war came and the maintenance levels dropped, the streamlining became even more of a nuisance, and we could be reading it banging and rattling and rusting. Now not all of them were built with streamlining, so those that were lost the streamlining. This one lost it in 1947, and the last one ran in 1949. This engine survived till 1964, when the rest of the last members of the cast were withdrawn from traffic. And this is a lucky machine, because it was bought by the Butlins Holiday Camp Organisation for display at Minehead in Somerset. Otherwise it would have gone to scrap.
Same.
When the Butlins people decided that they didn't want the engine anymore, various things happened, and eventually it arrived here in its conventional form. During its time at York, it's had two periods of operation, 1980 to 85 and 1990 to 98. The last fire in there was in 1998. The museum has a long-term plan to run it again. Long-term, I stress, and it will cost a lot of money, and there'll be operational considerations. But they would love to operate it with a train of coaches like the one behind, with the gold and the maroon.
I'm Oscar, and I really enjoyed being able to go on both Sir Nigel Gresley and Tornado, so I could compare both engines and see what changed between them, and also see what was different about Tornado, considering it is a replica engine rather than a rebuild or a preservation one.
So I'm Kieran, and what I probably enjoyed most was blowing the whistle on Sir Nigel Gresley and hearing the whistle of the Tornado.
Hi, my name's Martin, and my favourite item was the Gresley N2 tank engine, the only surviving Gresley tank engine. And I think it'd be a great engine, it'd be great if it could come to Bowness for a bit.
And that was Andrew Fowler reporting on the SRPS Youth Group's visit to Railfest. And that pretty well wraps up this edition of Sound Blast. You can contact us online at www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, all lowercase. That's www.srps.org.uk/soundblast. Or you can write to us at Sound Blast, two words this time with initial capitals, Sound Blast, SRPS, Union Street, Bowness, West Lothian, EH519AQ, Scotland. The editor and producer has been David Bytheway, and I'm Sandy Simpson, wishing you all that you wish yourself from everyone here at the Scottish Railway Preservation Society at Bowness in Bonnie, Scotland.